And welcome back to a new episode of Geeks and Nerds. Me, your boy Eli.
Me, Joe.
And we're here to talk about the return. The most anticipated return in all of entertainment. John Cena's turning heel. I'm sorry, we had to talk about it.
Oh, we're doing wrestling now? Oh, God, I'm not prepared to this at all.
No, okay.
Thank God. All right.
So what we're going to be talking about, actually, is the return of Daredevil in Daredevil Born Again. So recently at this point, the first two episodes are out. We will be talking about it. And by the time this episode comes out, I will say episode 3 or 3 or 4. I don't know how the release schedule is. But they are releasing it every Tuesday on Disney Plus. We are not sponsored by them, but God, I wish we were.
I mean, it'd be decent money, although yeah. I feel like they'd be forcing us to say only good things about
only
the show.
Good things, I say.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's been a long time because we have the more important people from the original Daredevil Netflix show, right? Charlie Cox, Vincent D'Onofrio,
Deborah Ann Woll, I'm getting the actor's name for Froggy, which makes me feel really bad what we're about to say.
Before we dive deep in, spoiler? Mm-hmm. Yes, no, maybe so.
I think by the time this comes out, it'd be a day before
the next episode.
So I think we should be fine.
Okay.
Yeah. So we should be fine. Like we're so this is gonna be like a full on review. This is more of more or less our thoughts on these first two episodes. There's a lot of conversations going around about it. There's a lot of mixed bags in a way. I would probably say. Right? Some people are feeling it's, like, not living up to it. Some say it's a good return. Basically, it's going to be our thoughts. I've been a Daredevil fan for a long time. Grew up with the movie. I love the Netflix show.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites. I still hold it up as one of the best comic book shows in a very long time. Like, season 1 is fantastic. Season 2 is solid. Season 3 is, in many ways.
If I remember correctly, the Daredevil show was the whole reason why we got Netflix in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's exactly, yeah.
Like, Netflix was, definitely popular around the time, but, like, once they announced it and we saw, everything coming out of it, we were like, we gotta get a Netflix account, I guess.
Oh, yeah, no, and, like, I've been reading up on some of the Frank Miller stuff. I've been reading up on the Chips of Darkest stuff, a little bit of Brian Michael Bendis. So, like, may not be the big, and, like, may not as well informed as others, but I really appreciate, Daredevil as a character. So, him having his show back, I was excited. I was looking forward to it. I may have different opinions than others about this, but that's just how the world is. We all kind of have to accept that.
Mm.
So, you've only seen the first two seasons, right?
Yeah, I was about to say, I will preface me saying that I only watched the first two seasons. I did not watch the third season. Mainly just out of, I think it was more sort of just, I guess I didn't really have sort of the time, and then I kind of just lost interest in a bit. And not to say I didn't like say season two, but I think part of it was just because obviously around the time, right, like Netflix, Marvel was essentially setting up the Defenders show, which turned out to be kind of mid. And then after that, I was kind of like a bit checked out.
Mm-hmm.
But I still heard very good things about season 3. It introduced Bullseye. There was a lot of interesting, good things I heard about in season 3, and maybe,
mm-hmm.
probably maybe when this season ends, I'll probably go back to watch season 3 so that way I can get a full picture. Granted, from what I understand, you don't necessarily need to watch any of the old stuff from the Netflix Daredevil series, because I think they're treating it as a somewhat soft reboot.
Yeah, it's like still considered canon, but this is kind of like a soft reboot, and that you kind of get that feeling in the first episode with the way things play out.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see why someone would say, like, oh, you need to know this much for that story. And I'm like, No, I feel like you can just kind of go in this without, you know, that much knowledge, because, like, you would feel more appreciative of what's going on with some certain characters, but this feels kind of like of its own unique thing, its own new thing.
Yeah, like, if you were, I feel like if anything, like, if you really wanted to, like, dive back into the original Daredevil, Netflix show, then I'd probably just,
You also got to know the fact that it's, like, different style, different, you know,
yeah.
Everything. Because this, you can totally feel this is meant to be slightly different, but still adhere to the core values of the show.
Yeah, but I was just going to say that, you know, like, I guess if you wanted, like, a feel of, like, what it was like, definitely just watch season one of the original show, you know, and I think that should be enough of a primer to get you into Born Again, you know?
Yeah, like, maybe at least season one.
yeah, definitely season one, I believe. But yeah, I mean, if you want to just, I guess we can just talk about, just the opening to the show itself.
Yeah,
right?
That was... Like, okay, so I love that first 15 minutes of that cold open. That was such, like, really good, you know, going back to what made Daredevil, the one-shot take, the way these characters act with each other, seeing all these actors just bounce off. It just seems so natural. It's one of the things that everyone really loved about the show. The only negative I feel like a lot of people would have is the use of CG. Like, for me, I didn't... maybe when he was swinging I had an issue with, but then, like, the way he moves has kind of always been awkward. Like, he didn't do a lot of, like, too much acrobatics in the original show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, a lot of people bring up this, I'm like, yeah, I feel like this is, like, swinging from one end to the other, not, like, Spider-Man kind of swing where he kind of tends to do in the comics.
Yeah.
Because that would look a little more goofier, especially with like someone like Daredevil.
Yeah.
But I think the one I do kind of agree with, and I agree with it to an extent, is the one-shot fight scene. Mostly because the background is kind of, you can tell that this is all a set, and it kind of takes you out of it because the way everyone moves, it moves kind of like, you know,
everybody has their marks, right?
Yeah.
Of like, okay, I need to do this here in this specific moment. It, you know, it's like one of those, which I think has always been kind of like the one issue with like trying to do one shots like that, is that, you know, like when they're done really well, like, you know, it's like, it feels like, oh my god, that's so seamless, you know, that sort of thing. But when they're done really poorly, it's like you can tell like the actors are just waiting for their time. Like probably somebody off screen or whatever is like signaling them to like, now do this, or like, you know, this, you know, you do that or whatever. You know, it's funny enough, that reminds me of that one sequence from the Avatar movie, not the Blue Cat people one, the Last Airbender one. I think it was when Aang's escaping that Fire Nation prison with Zuko.
Yeah.
There's that moment where like he's just standing like. It has, like, a one-shot vibe to it, but, like, it's very clear, like, the actor playing Aang is just going to one spot, waiting, and then doing his cue, and then, like, run to another spot. Like, they're all just, like, waiting, and then, like, oh, he go. You know? Which, I mean,
yeah.
I get why, you know, that sort of has a similar feeling to what we saw in this sequence here, you know, because, you know, but that's the... I guess that's always the risk when you do one shots, and obviously, granted, I'm not sure if it's probably definitely not the same like people that directed the first series, right?
No, different people.
So you know, so you can only.
And I think it's just also because like the background is so, it's colored in a way where, and like the way that everyone moves just kind of makes it very obvious it's green screen.
Yeah,
because the choreography is actually not that bad.
Yeah, for what it's worth, especially in the second, like the fight scene in like the end of the second episode, like it's all solid choreography there too. It's just I guess the way that was sort of shot.
No, I will argue that the second episode, the choreography is good. It's just edited really weird.
Yeah, I think I can understand where you're going from that.
Yeah, I'm not gonna defend the original series for being like peak you know, fight scene editing, because there's always been that a couple times where someone will edit a fight scene really weirdly. Because I remember when that second episode fight scene came out, everyone was like, guys, don't you remember the one where he fought Kingpin in the end of season one?
Yeah, because I think people, because I think this is something I mentioned before, before we started recording. Mm-hmm. With the first season, everybody remembers the hallway fight scene. Mm-hmm. I think that's half the reason why, I think a ton of I think some of the other Marvel Netflix shows tried doing their own take on like a one shot like hallway scene or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think everybody kind of remembers that, being the big thing from the original Daredevil series.
Yeah.
Right? And then it's kind of it conflates all the other scenes that were kind of just all right.
You know what's funny about that first hallway scene? A lot of times they're being, they're hiding.
Yeah, and that was, and they worked it to that, to their advantage.
Yeah,
because,
it just kept going into the doorway, because I remember that fight scene vividly.
Yeah.
And as they're going into it, Daredevil or whoever would just, pop out of the through the door at random.
Yeah, you would hear, shit happening in, off screen. And, at the same time, that works because, the audience also can kind of just visualize in their brain what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. And then, it's a good way of, essentially not having to cut. Or, you could probably sneakily cut it.
Yeah.
Because you're just holding on a single image at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you probably couldn't really tell, unless it's, a jarring, different cut or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But anyways, the fight scene, I think itself is very, it's very tenseful. As much as, awkward as it is, it's very tense because at that moment, Daredevil is fighting Bullseye, who just shot Foggy.
Yeah.
And that, I've heard rumors that they were going to kill Foggy. I was hoping it wouldn't, and then they did. And I'm not going to lie to you, bro. I kind of think they're cooking.
Yeah, I heard rumors on the social medias,
mm-hmm.
the tweeters and all that stuff about, because I think even before then, there was, some discussions from Charlie Cox being, the writing team made a decision that we felt very strongly about, but ultimately, we kind of just went for it or something like that,
mm-hmm.
right? Where it's, and then you hear reports, somebody, important is going to get axed, and it's that'd be kind of crazy. And at first I did think, maybe it was Foggy, maybe it was me, Karen, that'd be kind of crazy. But then you hear, I think there was a report, news about both of their actors being coming in to the second season. So
mm-hmm.
I was like, no way, right? They can't be, right? How are they going to, be in the second season if one of them is dead or whatever? And then, boom. Because I think you told me before I watched the episode, that first 50 minutes, it's going to be interesting for you. It's like, how so? And then I start watching, and I'm like, oh, that's what you meant. Oh, Jesus. But, I mean, I it's one of those, moves that, I definitely understand why, people are going to be angry about it. Because obviously Foggy himself is a very important character, especially from the original series,
He's always been of a supportive character for Matt throughout so many of his stories, from him just being his fellow lawyer best friend to knowing his secret identity.
Uh-huh.
Because I remember, I think it was before the Chip Zdarsky run. I think it was one where Daredevil was kind of knocked around, and Foggy's there to help him up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always one of the things that I really enjoyed about his character, and then, the show also did give him, it made him really likable as well.
Yeah.
Like you understood the friendship, so, on paper, what they're trying to do with that character is that he's kind of, and some people say, they already did this already, but, I mean, this is Daredevil, he'll do it, 1,000 times. because it's kind of it's always conflicted about his morality about this the situation. Because Matt is a devout Catholic as much as how bad he is about it.
Yeah, and that has always been part of Daredevil's character.
Yeah.
You know, is that sort of line between being a good, devout Christian, but also having to deal with his want and need of serving justice to the point where he dresses up as a vigilante. You know, it is truly Daredevil himself as a character is just a, you know, dichotomy of his whole character is just dichotomy when you think about it, right? He is a blind lawyer who dresses up as a devil at night to serve out justice. He serves justice both in the courtroom and on the streets, which is, you know, definitely opposed. Because it's, you know.
But also the fact that he is a man of faith and yet dresses as the devil.
Yeah, and does. And happens to get, you know, do some pretty brutal things to criminals on occasion.
He might have to do things that would be against his code of ethics.
Yeah.
And it's always more of like, how can he go in a way where it won't affect that, right? Or like, what's the best way to go about it? And if you're Chip Zdarsky, you give him some badass lines. Like when he was fought against the U.S. agent, where he's like, if you made peace with God, then he wouldn't have sent the devil.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo!
Yeah.
Let's go, Chip! Love that man. But for here, what I really like is that it kind of goes into the idea of the title, Born Again, right? A line was crossed, and he feels like he can't really do it anymore. And it's understandable that he's a man of faith. He literally, I wouldn't even say yeeted, or like threw him off the building, but what he does to Bullseye at the end of that sequence, it's just so like end point, like period.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm done. My best friend is dead.
Yeah. For seemingly no reason, because
yeah,
Bullseye does not give an explanation. He doesn't even say why he did it.
If I'm being honest, that is the most Bullseye thing ever.
Yeah, I was gonna say a lot of people are like, well, that's very in Bullseye's character. It's like, I just didn't feel like it, you know. And granted, you know, this probably is probably something that's talked about in like season 3 when Bullseye shows up of the original show. Right, like, I'm just gonna ask this right now since I haven't seen it. Does Bullseye know Daredevil's secret identity, or do you not remember?
I want to say he knows by association, by like he's smart. I would say he's maybe smart enough to like
figure it out. Okay.
Because like that whole point is that Kingpin kind of already knows.
Who Daredevil is.
Yeah.
Which is very true in this show, by the way.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, from there, you know, Bullseye should be able to pinpoint. I'm not saying he's supposed to be smart, but like, if he was, he would figure it out too.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, it's to be fair, technically, I guess, you know, we jump skip a year or time skip a year. And Matt sort of has working for another law firm. Obviously, you know, he's still torn up about the whole thing. The case, you know, they sentenced Bullseye, you know, to prison, you know, that sort of thing. And him and Karen have sort of a bit of falling out.
They're both grieving, and they both kind of grieve at their own way, even to the effect of others, really, because Matt's whole thing is that he, not only did he lose his best friend, you can kind of tell, like, he's kind of, like, lost a lot of his feeling to do Daredevil-y things because of it.
Yeah.
And, like I said, like, the point is, like, also that he just, like, wanted to kill the man. There's this implication that he hasn't even gone to church.
That is true, because there is a moment in the second episode where he just he passes by a church and he just listens in to the procession, but he doesn't go in. He's just hanging out on the outside. Which I, yeah, definitely I think that would be maybe like him essentially almost crossing the line essentially of like killing somebody, which I think is probably one of his big, you know, no's.
Yeah, right. Like, on his thing.
Yeah, so like the fact that he almost committed, you know, essentially doing that.
Which I don't know if the show's gonna like really work hard on it. That would be really interesting, and like it would be poignant to the moments I've been talking about Chip Zdarsky, because that was like one of the first arcs in his run on Daredevil, was like where he accidentally kills a man, and he's like, no, I couldn't have done that.
Right.
And then, like, he's immediately like, oh, God, what have I done? I've killed someone.
Yeah.
It's even funny because in that first volume, the rest of the Defenders show up is like, Matt, it's okay. We've done it once ourselves. And he's like, you what?
I had to choke out somebody. It's all right. Don't worry about it.
And it's one of those things I'm like, yeah, no, Matt would still find a way to be upset about it. Because that's kind of how he is. And honestly, I kind of hope they do. I don't know how they would do it, though, is the question.
Right.
Now, to move on forward, there is, like, sort of this cool, like, I don't know how to explain it. It's Ben Urich's niece. BD.
Yeah.
She does this really cool, and it's a really cool thing that they're doing. It's like kind of getting the thoughts of the people.
Yeah, I think she's gonna be a recurring character of like every now and again we'll have like these little moments of her. Like, we don't even see her like actually doing the recording. It's just like montages of her like clips. I guess she posts to like her social media or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Of her interviewing people on the street. Asking them about certain topics, like, you know, how they felt, you know, about Daredevil being gone, you know, all this stuff, like, do you feel safe in the city, that sort of thing. Which, I mean, it kind of leads into the other, I guess, the big overarching arc of the show as well. Kingpin, you know, becoming, running for the mayor of New York City.
Yeah, so while Kingpin was gone doing Echo things, Vanessa was in charge. Has been in charge of the books. She's been doing a really good job, mm-hmm. and now, like, they're both helping each other out with essentially implying rigging of election.
There is a moment, yeah, because I mean, not to be spoiler about it, but I mean, Kingpin does become the mayor of New York City at the end of the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
He wins the election, and there is a shot. Well, it almost feels Godfather-esque, in a way.
Yes!
You know? It's just Kingpin, like, you know, celebrating with his dudes, and you sort of see Vanessa
in the distance.
In the distance and through that a doorway, sort of just, like, drinking her glass, just sort of smiling, almost. Because she's, yeah, like you said, like, she's handling essentially the criminal aspect of the whole thing.
Well, because Kingpin was gone for that amount of
time.
Yeah,
that she had to sort of take up the reins. And, you know, it's a sort of a shot that's like, the only way that Kingpin could have possibly won was, you know, through rigging. But at the same time, you can clearly tell, in this episode, especially in the next episode, that there are quite a few people that are fully on board with
Listen, Kingpin. If I had a nickel for as many, for, like, Marvel making essentially something involving current issues, I'd have two, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it's happening more than once.
I mean, yeah, I guess I can, but at the same time, though,
it's like how are you gonna execute it, right?
Yeah, because I was gonna say, like, it's not necessarily a new concept in comics of the bad guy gains a seat of political power. Thing, right? I mean, you had Lex Luthor becoming president.
You also had
DC Comics.
You also had Norman Osborn.
Yeah, I was gonna say Norman Osborn did something similar, right?
Yeah. Even in the games, Norman. Well, he's not Green Goblin, but like it's implied that also he's done some shady stuff.
Yeah.
Because like I'm thinking about the PS5 game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of Spider-Man, Insomniacs, where like, you know, he's the mayor of New York, and like every. And Doc Ock's like, it's because of you. Like, this is, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's like, not like a crazy thing, even real life, that like it's one of those things where, man, it's if you're someone who's trying to avoid it, I can't say, I'm not saying much more out of that.
I mean, at the same time though,
it's not that uncommon in comics.
Yeah, it's not. And it's also, you know, it provides an interesting
mm-hmm.
you know, dilemma for the heroes, right? Like, how do I fight against my villain now that he is essentially a political figure now, like that,
protected
sort of thing, like that causes shenanigans. But to be fair, with Kingpin though, there's a very clear like distinction from some people being like not like, you know, they're very astute of like, yeah, I don't trust you. Like the chief of police is like, yeah, I don't vibe with you, dude. I know who you are. Like,
does he have an accent or something? Because sometimes the way he would deliver his lines is really weird.
A little bit, I think, but I can't really exactly remember much. But yeah, that's the whole thing. Like, clearly, like, at the same time, though, you know, it's almost like a born-again for Wilson Fisk, right? Like, he wants to actually do good. He genuinely does feel like he wants to do good things for the city. And, you know, Madden and Fisk have a conversation like a diner, sort of just like kind of going like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you know, I've changed, you know, I'm no longer Daredevil, you know, I almost crossed the line, and I guess you are trying to change too, it seems, but you know, Matt is obviously not very trusting of Kingpin because,
fair, you know, understandably so.
Yeah, and you know, at the same time though, you know, he even mentions like, you know, my faith, you know, designs me like people can be redeemed, and you know, hopefully that's the same for you. If not, I'm gonna come for you. You know,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it's a bit of a funny line because you know, Kingpin goes like, "And who's, which you is gonna come for me then?" And he just kind of smiles.
Yeah, because like again, like you said, the way you said it was so poignant. It's like this is born again not only for Matt but also for Kingpin. But is he truly born again, or you know?
Yeah, because I think there's another. Cause it's interesting too, because Kingpin has a face to face with B.B. Ulrich, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he even mentions that, like, yeah, I knew Ben Ulrich. He was a good man, a good journalist, and it's like he killed them.
we're all thinking as she's talking to him, the moment where he's choking the life out of him.
Yeah, I mean, he's never. I guess he's never connected to his murder. As far as I remember.
No, he wasn't.
No, yeah, it's from the show, but it's like...
Oh, was he? I can't remember now.
No, I don't think so, because they do mention Kingpin, like, crushing a guy's head in.
Which well, and they treated it like it was a rumor.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, but, like, it wouldn't surprise me if later on they find out that's what happened.
I mean, it would be an interesting point.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I mean, I was going to say, would that matter, but, I mean, I guess it probably would. It would be probably a big scandal for the mayor of New York if he found out that he murdered a guy.
Two, maybe three.
I mean, yeah. But at the same time, though, people knew he was the Kingpin.
Yeah.
You know? But, like, it was more like an Al Capone kind of thing, I guess,
yeah.
maybe. Of, like, they knew he did stuff, but they could never have concrete evidence.
I remember now what he was arrested for is because of his, like, backdoor dealings with the police.
Yeah, I think that might have been
corrupt,
it.
The corrupt cops.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like how far the corruption went.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that I could totally see that happening, like, something similar to happening to that. But, no, yeah, this is a very interesting start. Like, Kingpin, Vincent D'Onofrio, Daredevil, Charlie Cox are the only real returning characters, and it makes sense because it's kind of more centered around those two in terms of, like, where are they now with their story, right? Because, like we said, they're all dealing with their new stuff, like I said, born again. But, you know, can Kingpin follow through with his changes, especially with, like, situations with his wife?
Yeah.
Matt clearly cannot avoid such things because as the story unfolds, we get the introduction of White Tiger.
Yeah. Whose actor, I forget his name, but he sadly passed away
with
cancer.
Yeah, he sadly passed away with cancer last year.
I mean, you know, it's still pretty cool to see,
yeah.
You know, this rendition of White Tiger. you know, he gets involved in, like, essentially trying to stop a what it seems to be just a random New York fight, and then accidentally kills a guy, and then turns out, oh, wait, he was they're both undercover cops, and now you're going to get in jail.
Blind undercover cops.
Yeah, and it's like, well, all right, what the hell?
Yeah, I know.
And Matt helps out, right, because that's a very Matt thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it ultimately kind of leads into maybe some more, like, shenanigans, because these cops, because they're trying to find the guy that they were originally trying to, like, sort of hustle or whatever, but...
Because he's essentially the key witness.
Key witness, and Matt needs to find him.
Yeah, because the whole thing is that they're pointing White Tiger as the person in charge. Like he just suddenly attacked these two cops. It's like, no, he was defending someone from two cops.
Yeah.
And so, he, you know, as these guys are trying to, like, you know, find and, you know, get rid of the guy who's the key witness, the thing that flashed before in front of all the audience was a Punisher tattoo.
Yeah.
Again.
Both cops having Punisher tattoos, by the way.
Yeah, again, we might be going somewhere with this, because, I mean, people have an issue with, like, people using the Punisher logo on stuff.
Yeah, in the real world,
yeah.
Just a preface, which, I mean, to be fair, I get that. And it actually reminds me of the whatchamacallit. There's a panel from a comic about Punisher basically kind of talking about that.
Yeah.
Of, like, if I recall correctly, I guess the context he's talking to some cop is, like, who they're like, yeah, we want to be like you or something like that.
Like, no.
Yeah, and he's very much like, hey, you're police. You're supposed to uphold the law and protect people. You're not supposed to be doing what I'm doing, which is just murdering dudes.
Yeah.
Which is, like, you know... It's a very sort of thing of, like, you guys are meant to protect and serve. What I do is none of that.
No, because I would kill you, too.
Yeah, and he's like, I don't even like you guys. So it's like, you know, if you want a hero, look up to Captain America. Don't look up to me.
Yeah, no, like, that's very poignant. Like, especially because Frank is a fan of Captain America. Like a lot of people in Marvel.
Which I can only assume, because I think... I forget his name, but the guy that plays Punisher in the Netflix show.
Oh, John Bernthal.
Yeah, John Bernthal. I believe he will be showing up in the show. So
yeah.
I can only expect a similar conversation to happen in this show where there's some dudes. Because I'm going to be honest, that's going to be somewhat interesting because, one, obviously the implication that there's probably a group of cops in the New York City Police Department that are... very pro-Punisher and want to be like him. Whether or not that's being supported by, like, say, the chief of police, or they're, like, their own rogue group that do their own thing, and they can get away with it because they're cops or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, would they be involved? Like, what could be happening there? Like, could they be involved in, like, maybe hunting down vigilantes, or are they going to be against Kingpin? Because, you know, I mean, because the chief of police already doesn't really trust Kingpin, like, a group of guys, you know, that like the Punisher, looking at Kingpin, it's like, hey, this guy was getting with a bunch of shit, now he's the mayor. Like, let's go after this guy.
No, exactly.
You know? That's going to be all kinds of very interesting things, and I'm kind of very excited to see where that goes, you know?
There's a lot of things that I kind of want to more touch on, but to put, like, you know, to help close this out, I think so far these two episodes are very strong. There's, like, a couple of things that are negatives, but I still feel like this is a very strong show so far. I wouldn't say we're fully back into, like, the peakness that was Netflix's Daredevil, but at the same time, it wouldn't surprise me, not only because it's, you know, different people working on it, but it's also been, like, a certain amount of time. It was never going to be as, you know, as perfect, or it doesn't need to be. It still needs to be... At the end of the day, what I want is a good show.
Yeah. And that, I think that's the thing. I think a lot of people are sort of... I mean, I am definitely optimistic, and it does look like there's a interesting story going on here. Obviously, it does kind of hurt with, obviously, Foggy's death and stuff. But, I mean, I'm going to be honest. Wouldn't it be kind of crazy if we got another character returning from the original show? Another character that's involved with Resurrection.
Oh. Elektra.
Wouldn't that be kind of fucking weird and insane if Elektra, out of nowhere, brings back Foggy?
I mean, that... Marvel doesn't have a Lazarus Pit, dude.
I mean...
Okay, shut up.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, no one ever truly is dead in the Marvel Universe.
In the comics.
In the comics, obviously. But I mean, there's always a... You know, I don't know.
I mean, if I'm being honest, I think it's... I think so far, what I want to see is what they're doing with this story. I'm not against changes. I'm not against, you know, changing the status quo. But, like, essentially making sure, like, if you're doing this, you got to commit and you got to do something that is worthwhile and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
That makes me go, like, yo, okay, hold up now. That might be, like... And it's kind of sad that we have to lose Foggy, but I feel like if we end up coming out with something good, I'll be all right with it. But like I said, I don't expect it to be like same level as Netflix's because, again, different people.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And I think it'd be unfair to have it be expected like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Considering it is like a new sort of people behind the camera and the writing staff, but, you know.
And they had to change the writing because...
Yeah, that was the thing, too, I also remember, because originally, you know, they pushed it back a bit because they felt that original, like, story that they came up with wasn't good enough, you know, and felt a bit off, it didn't feel right, you know.
Especially coming from the two main leads.
Yeah, so, you know, it is commendable that they, you know, Because they got some more new people, right?
Yep.
After that. So, you know, I think it definitely sort of just shows at least the people working behind the scenes are sort of like, no, we want to make this show good, you know.
Yeah, we want to hold up to it, but, you know.
At the same time, sort of continue it in our own spin and, like, in within the MCU, right?
Yeah. And we'll see how that turns out. But so far, I'm optimistic. I mean, from what I've seen, a lot of people are loving it.
Yeah, I think for the most part, people, yeah, I think...
Like, aside from the stuff that, like, is obviously the bad, like, the really awkward and, like, bad.
And, you know, there's definitely controversy, but I think for the most part, there is seemingly an interesting story being told here.
Yeah, and yeah. That's, at the end of the day, that's kind of what matters. 9 episodes, by the way.
And, well, yeah, that's about not as long as the Netflix seasons, which was like 13,
yeah.
But I think that's a good spot, especially since you're getting a season 2, as far as I know, right? So, you know, I think I'm excited. I want to see where this goes.
Alright guys, we're going to put it into this episode right here, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to follow us on all our social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We're most active on Instagram, where you'll find a link tree to all the podcasts that we're officially part of, like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and all the like. And you'll find a link to the YouTube where all you other listeners out there can put a face to the voice. And if you enjoy what you're here, be sure to follow us there as well. Because I have a form of Patreon, form of support. And yeah, Daredevil's back.
I'm happy. Born again, yeah.
Yeah. It's funny, a lot of people were saying, is it tied to like the Born Again comic? I'm like, no.
Nah, they pulled an Age of Ultron here.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, it's a cool title.
Yeah.
And obviously, one, it's symbolic of probably what's happening in the story, but also it's like, yeah, Daredevil, the show is back, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Anyway, it's been me, your boy Eli.
It's me, Joe.
Yes, have a good one. Peace.